Okay, good. We got a simple message this morning. And I'm asking the Lord to come this morning and search our hearts, okay? This morning, we are talking about the power of alignment. Say alignment. All right. Lord, come and speak to us. Come and show us what's on your heart. Come and help us to see any place in our lives where we are not properly aligned with you in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to come with a flashlight and just search our hearts this morning. To come and show us, come and illuminate any place that is not properly aligned with you. We want the benefits. We want the goodness that comes from being aligned with you. So come, Holy Spirit, this morning. Come and speak to us. Come and whisper to us. Come and convict us. Come and do what only you can do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Okay, so pull out your Bibles. I did put the scriptures on the screen today, but there's a chance they might be too small to read. So, I got you anyways. Pull out your Bibles. Get ready. We're going to be in Deuteronomy, okay? So you can open up to Deuteronomy chapter 11. All right, we're talking about alignment. The definition of alignment is, nope, not that. Not that. Did you get the definition? He forgot the definition. Okay, I will read it to you. Here it is. Definition of alignment is the act of aligning or state of being aligned, especially the proper positioning or state of adjustment of parts in relation to each other. All right? Just lining up correctly so that the right things happen like they're supposed to. Okay? So, alignment in the Lord's book, it's a universal law that he set up back before the world was founded. Okay? Something that he said, if things are in alignment, everything else flows easily and naturally like they're supposed to be. If they're not in alignment, it's not good. All right? Alignment will always bring a peace. It will bring ease. It will bring joy. It will bring much fruitfulness. It will bring favor when you align things properly. When you are improperly aligned, the opposite happens. It brings into your life or into a situation or into a physical thing. It's a universal law, so it's going to happen everywhere. It's going to bring destruction. It's going to bring chaos. It's going to bring difficulty. Things are not going to flow like they're supposed to. There's not going to be the fruit that they're supposed to be. Okay? Alignment is really, really, really important. Which it reminds me of John 10:10, where Jesus says, the enemy comes to, but I have come that you may have. There you go. Okay? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Improper alignment in your life will bring death, destruction, chaos, bad things. And Jesus is telling us, if you're improperly aligned, the enemy loves to come in and bring death and destruction and steal from your life. But if you're properly aligned, there's abundant life. It's smooth. It's easy. If you're properly aligned with God, it takes you to the abundant life. Okay? Got it? Got it? I'm not going to let you off the hook. There's so few of you today, you don't get any breaks today. Not one of you. All right, so it's a universal law, and it's proven all over the world. Okay, we got a few pictures for you. Alignment, and the universal law of alignment is proven with tires. So you go to the car guy. Raise your hand. Every time I go to the car guy, I always have all the trouble with my tires. And they're like, oh, you need $5,000 worth of new tires. I'm like, no, shut up, please. But that's kind of how it always goes. So here's what happens if your tires are not properly aligned, okay? If they're not properly aligned, you can get tire wear in all sorts of crazy ways. And what should last you 30, 40, 50, 60,000 miles, the lifetime that you probably have the car, for some of you, 10,000 for me personally, it's going to wear out your tires a lot faster. You're going to spend a lot more money if you're not properly aligned. All right, what's the next one? Chiropractors. Okay? Chiropractors understand alignment. They understand the universal law of alignment. They prove it every single day. If your back is all screwed up and your spine is messed up and is not properly aligned like the Lord intends it to be, you're going to be in pain. You're going to be in misery. You're not going to like anybody. You're going to be rude to people around you. So you go to the chiropractor and he sits there and aligns you properly so that everything flows inside your spine like it's supposed to. Okay? Where else is the universal law of alignment proven? Homeostasis. Raise your hand if you know what homeostasis is. Okay, good. More of you than I thought. Homeostasis is this beautiful thing that the Lord put inside of us, okay? He designed your body to follow your thoughts, okay? We don't have time to get into it today, but basically the way the Lord created your body is to follow your thoughts. And the Lord said, you need to think about me and believe my thoughts all the time. When we believe the thoughts that God wants us to believe, it does something physically inside of our bodies, and it releases the correct chemicals from our brains into our physical bodies, and then our autoimmune system and every other system inside of our body begins to function like it's supposed to, and your body is in health, and it gets to this place called homeostasis, where everything is perfectly balanced and peaceful and right. But if you don't believe the thoughts of the Lord and you believe the thoughts of the enemy, oh, I'm so ugly, oh, I blah, 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 whatever. Your brain is designed by God to respond to what thoughts you're feeding on. And so if you're feeding on bad thoughts, it will release chemicals to make you physically feel how you think. And then your body gets all out of whack and you don't have homeostasis, okay? It's a universal law. Align yourself with the Lord and you get to be in homeostasis. Improper alignment in your thought life will cause all sorts of disease inside of your body, okay? Where else is it proven? Universal law of alignment is proven with electricians. Cecil knows this a little bit. So when you line up the dots correctly, when you connect this wire with this wire with this wire with this wire, you can receive power that's being created hundreds and thousands of miles away, and it can flow through the entire continent of America somehow to end up inside of these light bulbs when you line the dots up correctly. But if you have improper alignment with electrical components, it doesn't work. It either gets corroded or you simply don't have power in that spot. Where else is it proven? With the windmills, water mills and windmills, both. If you set it up correctly, you can harness this incredible power flowing through rivers or flowing through the wind, and you can capture it and turn power out of it. But if those windmill blades are just slightly turned a little bit incorrectly, if they're not properly aligned with the wind when it's blowing through, there will be no power coming through. They will not reap the benefits of the wind flowing through. Okay? Anything else? Oh, yeah. Raise your hand if you've ever seen this. Anybody know what this is? Yeah. This is so cool. I love this. This is one of my favorite things. I have a lot of favorite things. This is a solar, this is one of the world's largest solar power plants, okay? Down on the ground, this is mirrors, computer-controlled mirrors. That's all it is, just a big, giant piece of glass, a big mirror. And it's computer controlled to follow the sun all day long. And all day long, every single mirror is causing the sun's rays to bounce off of it and shoot right at the very center, the giant tower in the middle. Inside of that tower, they have a boiler, and they pump water up to the top of that thing. Up at the top of it, all day long, because of sun power, it produces steam, 1,000 degrees plus of steam. And then the steam, in turn, creates electricity, okay? So all day long, little tiny adjustments. You can show the next picture. Look how huge it is. These things take up acres and acres and acres and acres and acres. Each one of those mirrors oftentimes can be like 15 feet wide, 15 feet tall. They're huge. Go to the next one. There's the tower. There's from the ground. So a car drives through all these mirrors here, and then it all shoots at the tower. Is there one more? Look at that. 1,000 degrees up there. Harnessing the power of the sun through proper alignment. What happens if those mirrors are not properly aligned? Nothing. Nothing happens. There's no power produced. But the tremendous power of the sun, you get to reap the benefits of it when you properly align yourself to flow with it. Okay? So y'all with me? It's a universal law. If you align correctly, great stuff can happen. If you don't align correctly, bad stuff happens. Okay? So let's take a look at this. From the heart of God flows a river of life. It's always flowing. It's always moving. It is strong and powerful. It never stops. It continues to go and go and go and go and go. And if you will align yourselves with that river, then you get to reap the benefits of the river of life. But if you don't align yourself correctly to harness it, is it God's fault that you're not receiving it? Or is it your fault that you didn't properly align something so that you can receive what he's giving out? Okay? Why, thank you, Fallon. You're so sweet. So sometimes with the river, we allow blockages to happen, okay? So when I think through, I won't get into that. But oftentimes, when a river's flowing, the water is strong. And then you get down to the end, and there's just a little trickle. It's just a little creek. If you want the full power of the river, you just got to go upstream a little bit and figure out where's the blockage. And sometimes it's a big log that fell into the river, and sometimes it's a beaver dam that got built up, and sometimes somebody came and put a concrete dam in the middle of your river, and they're taking all your water because they want a kayak in a little pond in the back of their house, which I've been to, strangely, in Austin. I had a friend that he dammed a river, and he kayaked in the backyard. It's weird. So what do you do? If you want that water that he gets to enjoy, you go up there and blow up the dam. You get rid of the blockages so that the water can flow once again, okay? So that's how it is with the Lord as well. This is always God's goal, and it's our goal today to be in proper alignment. So the goal today is to examine our lives, and if anything's not experiencing that abundant life that Jesus promises in John 10:10, then let's let the Lord shine a light at it and show us, is there something that's not properly aligned that if we would just make a little adjustment, we would begin to enjoy that abundant life that he promises, okay? So, just before Israel went into the promised land, they've been with Moses in the desert, they've been eating manna for decades and decades, and finally it's time, and Moses is going to go goodbye, and he's giving his final adios to all of his compadres. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, God is trying to get this principle of alignment into the Israelites, and he's kind of pounding it in chapter after chapter. Guys, if you will do this correctly, everything else is going to go well with you. If you don't, it's going to go bad. So stay properly aligned with me, is what the Lord's talking about. So that's what we're going to look at today. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 8. Open up your Bibles. Okay, Deuteronomy 11. Are you ready? Chapter 11, verse 8. Okay, I'm just going to read it. Read along with me. Observe, therefore, all the commands I'm giving you today, so that you may have strength to go in and take over the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all of your heart and with all your soul, and then I will send the rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather your grain, new wine and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields of your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Okay, hit pause. We're going to start up again on 16. So God's talking to them. He's saying, look, guys, in Egypt, where we used to be, the Nile River flowed, and it was there all day long, every single day of the whole year. And the way that they survived was by their own strength, by their own work, by their own doing, okay? So they would pump water out of the Nile, and they would shoot it into little irrigation channels, and it would flow throughout the ground so that it would water the seeds, and then it would grow. It was all by their own strength. It was the description of religion, doing it by yourself, right? And now God is telling them, where you're going, that doesn't exist. The only way you're going to survive in the promised land where I'm taking you is this land that I love so much. The only way you survive is if I send rain from heaven. And here's how you get rain from heaven: by worshiping me, by being properly aligned with me, and then I will take care of everything else. And then he goes on to, I'll show you in a few minutes, if you don't worship me, if you don't properly align with me, the rain stops. And so all throughout Israel's history, they understood, if it's not raining, something is wrong. Even if you go today they're in a drought, there's this overwhelming sense across the whole nation that something is wrong with us as a people. We've got to align ourselves more correctly with God, and then the rain will come. It's how it's been for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. That's because it's how God taught them. If you're not aligned right with me, the rain's not going to come. Okay? And so we spoke a year ago, about worship and rain. And we can sum up this right living with God, this honoring God as worship, right? And so the Lord was teaching the people, look, if you don't worship me, there will be no rain. And if you want more abundance in your life, then you need to worship me more. No worship, no rain. Worship, rain. That's how it works. Put the two together. If you want more of the goodness of the Lord, more of the abundance of the Lord, we got to worship him more, okay? So that's what God is trying to teach the Israelites right before they walk into the promised land. And he's just pounding it in. Guys, you got to listen. Align yourself correctly, because if you don't, really bad stuff is going to happen. All right, so verse 16 of chapter 11. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds, and tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and you walk along the road, and when you lie down when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land of the Lord's, the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. If you carefully observe all these commands I'm giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will be extended from the desert to Lebanon, from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put terror and fear on you on the whole land wherever you go. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and the curse if you disobey. All right? So the Lord, he's having a little chat. Guys, properly align your lives with me that it honors me. If you do, amazing things will happen. I promise you. If you don't, bad things are going to happen. Okay? Now let's go on to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Because God just told him about this blessing and this curse. I'm going to read just briefly some of the blessings. The curses are the opposite and a whole lot worse, okay? So Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. God tells him, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, and you'll be blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction and flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. Verse 9. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. And then all the peoples on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, and the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving him. Amen. So God's telling them, guys, if you will not turn to the right or to the left, if you'll stay properly aligned, abundant life is my promise for you. Okay? So then go to Joshua chapter 3. God's just given them this whole pep talk. Come on, guys, stay right with me. Stay right with me. If you will, amazing things are going to happen. I promise you. And then a few chapters later, Moses has gone on. God says, come on, it's time to go into the promised land. Let's go. And the priests, they're walking out. They've got to cross over the Jordan River. Okay? So now it's time. They've got the Ark of the Covenant. They're walking ahead. And God says, go cross the river. When they get to the river, something amazing is going to happen. Okay? Are you ready? Look at Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. It says, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. And now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zatharin. And while the water flowing down to the sea of the Dead Sea was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho, and the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Okay? So God promises, if you will properly align, amazing things will happen. A few days later, a few weeks later, I don't know, very quickly after, God proves himself with this amazing miracle where they go touch the edge of the water, and the city of Adam was 18 miles upstream where the water stopped, was 18 miles upstream, okay? There's a couple fun things to note about this story. It says the moment they touched the water, which was flooding, so you got to close your eyes and picture a raging river, flood stage river moving very rapidly, right? At least 20 miles an hour, maybe faster, okay? Fun fact about water flowing at 7 miles per hour has a destructive force as an EF5 tornado, okay? Water flowing at 25 miles per hour is the equivalent to wind or hurricane or tornado wind of 790 miles per hour. So the Jordan River is at flood stage, 20 miles an hour, maybe 30 miles an hour. We don't know. It's this torrent, this raging river, and it's a huge river. And the whole nation, millions of people have got to cross through this thing, which is going to take, I mean, how long does it take you to get through a parking lot with a few thousand people, 10,000 people? We're talking about millions of people trying to cross this river. So we're thinking hours. And I got to think they're all looking at this river thinking, I'm about to die. Like, we're going into that? Who is this God? He's, okay, cool. He kept us in the desert for 40 years to kill us right here and while we walk through the Jordan River. This is crazy. But so the moment they touch the water, boom, whoosh. The water dries up. But it doesn't go from here backwards because it says it stops 18 miles up the road. They can't see what's causing it to stop. God's hand has come down and they can't see the force that's caused it to stop. The other thing to realize is it says the moment that they touched. But you're 18 miles up the road at 20 miles an hour. It's going to take at least an hour to stop that water from showing up, right? So God, even before they get there, has already gone and done this miraculous thing that they can't even see in order to prove himself, if you'll align rightly with me, amazing things will happen, okay? But then what's interesting, too, as you walk on, it talks about how they stand in the middle of the river, on dry ground, the whole nation crosses on dry ground, and then God says, take 12 smooth stones from the middle of the riverbed, put it up on your shoulder, and go set it up as an altar over there, so that forever, when people walk past here, they'll say, what are those 12 stones for? They'll say, oh, this is where God split the river, okay? Raise your hand if you've ever walked across a creek or a river that had stones in the bottom of it. Raise your hand if you've ever walked across a creek or a river that had stones on it and you slipped and fell because it's a little crazy. So even though God made the water go away, it still had rocks, big old stones, in the bottom of the riverbed that might have still had algae on them, right? So even though God did this amazing miracle, walking across through the miracle that God had set up could have potentially still been hazardous and dangerous, and they had to pay attention to what they were doing and where they're walking, which I find fascinating because it's like, okay, God, if you can do that, you know, stop the water, why wouldn't you, like, build a bridge just as easily, you know? But there's something about even in the midst of a miracle, when you're with the Lord, it can still be a little treacherous trying to get through it, right? Okay, so they build the thing. The Ark of the Covenant walks across the river. It says the moment they got out of the riverbed, bam, again, all the water is at full flood stage once again. Again, previous. Probably took at least an hour to get down the river. Isn't that amazing? Okay, so the Lord proves himself. If you align properly, amazing things will happen. But I'm telling you guys, if you don't stay on the right, you know, if you don't stay on the middle, bad things are going to happen, okay? So, and then the last part of that story is chapter 5 in Joshua, verse 1. It says, now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. Isn't that cool? I love that. Okay, so God's desire is always to bless us. And the key to receiving his blessing in your life is proper alignment. Are y'all with me on that fact? Okay, Jesus talked about it again, Matthew 6:33. He says, if you will seek first God and his kingdom, everything else that you're concerned about, everything else you're wondering about, everything else is going to just fall into line. If you align correctly, everything else just flows easily and smoothly. Okay? And then again, he says at John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, destroy, but I've come that you can have life and have it abundantly if you're properly aligned with me. So the cross obviously changed things from how the Israelites used to live, and we are permanently accepted, our sins are forgiven, all those things. But the universal law of you choosing to align yourself is still at play, right? So all of his blessings are still flowing from the heart of God, coming straight at you like a hurricane. And he wants to overtake you with his blessings. But it's still our choice today in every aspect of our lives to align with him or not align with him. And when we choose not to align with him, there's nothing he can do. It's our choice completely, right? So the command that he gave them throughout the Bible in Deuteronomy 11:13, the command was, love God and serve him with all your heart and soul. If you'll just do that, all these blessings will happen to you. In Deuteronomy 11:22, the command was to love God and to walk in obedience to him and to hold fast to him. Okay, basically the same command, but said in a slightly different word. Jesus said the exact same thing, Matthew 22, verse 37. He said the greatest command is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Okay? So God's concern, his number one command is, look, blessings are coming your way. The key to unlocking those blessings in your life is to properly align yourself with him by loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Or loving the Lord your God and serving him with all your heart and with soul. Or loving the Lord your God and walking with him in obedience and holding fast to him. It's basically all saying the exact same thing. But my question is every single part of our lives fully committed and surrendered to him? Okay? Or is it generally there, but we've gotten lazy in a few areas and we've slacked off and now a few things are kind of out of alignment, right? When you see somebody with a bad back walking down the road, you usually don't notice it, you know? But they go to the chiropractor, and there might be one little thing that needs to be adjusted, and it changes everything. And so it's easy to do that in our own lives, where most of our lives are committed to the Lord. And I'm speaking personally, you know. Most of my life is generally committed to the Lord. But sometimes I get lazy and I kind of slack off on different areas. And so what I felt like the Lord wanted today was, let's take time to just recognize we want to be in alignment with the Lord completely, and then just give time to the Holy Spirit to come and shine his little flashlight and show us, is there any place where we've gotten lazy or any place where we've refused to bring into alignment? Because I want to live that abundant life. I want all of you guys to live 100% that abundant life that he promises you, but we've all got to be completely in line. Amen. So last picture I want to show you is this giant pot. I've heard, I don't know if this is true, but my understanding is that in the old days, when they would look through pots or vases or bowls or whatever, if the pot had been cracked over time, there was a way they could seal it with a wax, and then they could paint over it as in and make it look as if it never happened, inside and out. So you go to the market and you buy a pot or a vase or whatever, and you think, oh, this is perfect, there's no trouble, there's no problems, but actually you're buying a broken vessel, okay? And so what they would do is they would lift it up. Somebody who knew what they were doing, they would lift it up and hold it directly in their path of the sunlight, and they would look from the inside to the outside. And if you looked from the inside to the outside, you could see where the wax lines were, and you could see if there's a crack or not. So if you held it up to the light, you could know if there was something a little bit off or not. And so that's what I feel like the Lord wants to do with us this morning. You can do that however you want to. What I had in mind is we just turn on some music, and I'd encourage everybody to just come and lay down on the front, or come and sit, or come and kneel, whatever you want to do, but just come be on the altar before the Lord, and just have a little conversation with him and say, I want the abundant life. I want all of your blessings that you're sending my way. Is there anything in my life that doesn't look like abundant life? Come shine your light on that thing. And I want to just, this morning, I just want a little alignment. I just want to line up correctly so that everything flows like it's supposed to. Amen? Y'all up for that? Okay. Rachel's turning on some music for us. You guys can go ahead and come on up front. So we thank you, Lord. We just give you everything, and we choose to align ourselves rightly with you, that we can enjoy everything that you offer us. Help us, God. Help us to stay properly aligned with you. Help us not be lazy as we make these little corrections. We thank you for your goodness. Amen. So we thank you, Lord. We just give you everything, and we choose to align ourselves rightly with you, that we can enjoy everything that you offer us. Help us, God. Help us to stay properly aligned with you. Help us not be lazy as we make these little corrections. We thank you for your goodness. Amen. So we thank you, Lord. We just give you everything, and we